I trained Pinky. Pinky, come here. No, come here. Come here.
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And the only thing harder than herding cats is watching this documentary.
Meow.
Spoiler alert for our listeners. This one was awful.
It opens in a motorhome park and it doesn't really improve from there.
No. This week we watched Acrocats, which is a documentary following a woman who is determined to take her cat circus on the road. And it sounds like a really sort of interesting, quirky premise. It's just terrible. I apologize to you for making you watch this.
I have feelings about this one.
You feel some kind of way?
Well, a lot of confusion, a lot of regret.
I do not regret my life choices, except for the ones that led me up to watching this documentary. But other than that, this one certainly made me feel glad that I went to college and chose a career path other than a cat circus.
I feel very conflicted about what we watched, and this is how we're ending 2019, Jamie. This is...
Happy New Year. Well, why don't we just get right into it?
As I mentioned, we open in a motorhome park. There's a motorhome with a big Acrocats sign on it. Inside, an alarm is going off, and a woman kind of groggily reaches up for a can of Red Bull, and we see that she's got a bunch of cats around her, and we meet Samantha, who talks about how every day she's waiting basically for things to fall apart, and we go on a journey from there, I guess.
The first thing she does after getting out of bed is use a toaster oven on the ground with this long extension cord coming from her RV.
It's like one step up from the office where Michael steps in his George Foreman grill on his bedroom floor.
Ooh, I burned my foot very badly on my Foreman grill, and I now need someone to come and bring me into work.
It's sort of the first sign that this is going to be full of a lot of bad choices.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. We learned that she wanted to be an animal trainer since she was 7 years old.
Anytime you train an animal, you achieve that moment where they understand and get the trick. It's called the light bulb moment, where you see a little light bulb go off in their eyes. You feel like this, like a little bit of an electric wave between you and the animal. So there's a sort of telepathy.
We learn that she started out by training a dog, which I guess makes sense because they're known to be trainable. And then she trained a ferret and a rat, and she became known as the Rat Lady of Chicago.
Yes, and I feel like every reference to her throughout the rest of this documentary, we need to refer to her as the artist formerly known as the Rat Lady of Chicago.
It's also worth noting that she became so famous for this that she was on MTV with Pauly Shore.
Is that a claim to fame?
I think it's a better claim to fame than what this documentary does to her.
Okay, fair.
Being the rat lady didn't really get her anywhere. She had an exotic zoo and she was doing some educational programming for schools and libraries, and then she decided to focus on cats. She says, "I find it more rewarding to work with an animal that gives you a hard time."
And she chose wisely, if that's her parameters.
She says that she's one of those people who gets to be what they wanted to be when they grow up, but she says she's not grown up yet because a grown-up doesn't sleep on the side of the road in a bus full of cats.
They certainly don't. I feel like that's an adulting fail. Sleeping by the side of the road, not that great. Sleeping in a bus full of cats, also not great. But you combine the two and you really have a problem.
You certainly get a life that I wouldn't want to lead.
She never does come out and tell you how many cats she has. And there's never a frame where you see them all in the same frame where you can count them. And so based on the different cats that we see, I feel like she has about a dozen cats.
I think so.
And this is not like a luxurious rock star bus that she's traveling the country in. It's the kind where the kitchen table becomes a bed. And
it looks like it could fall apart.
Yes.
We meet Samantha's assistant. Her name is Lindsay. The first thing that she says is that she was having a career crisis when she turned 30. I would argue that she's still having a career crisis.
I think that's fair.
But Lindsay thinks that everything's coming together. And she says that Samantha lives the life that everyone thinks about, but Samantha's actually doing it.
Dave, have you ever thought about running a cat circus out of an RV?
I have not.
Samantha says that she needs $3,000 a week to break even. What in the world are the expenses on this RV full of cats that you need 12 grand a month?
Well, she's paying Lindsay and so much money that Lindsay no longer thinks she has a career crisis, even though she's in a motorhome with a woman and a dozen cats.
But I mean, $12,000 a month is $150,000 a year. Even if she's paying Lindsay $50,000, still $100,000 just to drive around in an RV with some cats. What expenses does she have that makes this such a costly endeavor?
I wondered how much of it was related to venues that she's trying to book. I'm wondering if she has to make some kind of pricing guarantee on some of these shows.
Oh, maybe.
It appears, at least in the beginning, that she's losing money on these shows, but we'll get there. One thing I wanted to mention is that Samantha says that she needs a totally redone website. Did you go to circuscats.com?
I sure did.
I think that this is actually a fairly new documentary. But the website looks like something that was made in the 90s.
And that's generous.
We get to see Samantha driving around her hometown of Princeton, Illinois. And she points out that there's a spot in town where she lost her virginity in the backyard by a cornfield.
That's Illinois. Illinois, Iowa, both of those states, that's where you're going to lose your virginity.
We get to see her elementary school. And we get a little bit of background on Samantha that makes her a little bit sympathetic. We learn that she was bullied a lot when she moved to Illinois with her parents.
Yeah, and she was a cute little kid. So I'm not sure exactly why she was bullied, except that she's really weird and kids don't like weird.
People are just assholes, I guess. She goes up to Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Another Wisconsin place.
You and I lived in Wisconsin, not that far from Manitowoc.
50 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, and so it was fun because I actually recognized some of the places that she was in Manitowoc, but she's walking around Main Street, going door-to-door, trying to drum up interest for her AcroCats show, and there's not much.
I don't know if any of you who live around here are cat lovers. We have a show tomorrow featuring trained, amazing cats.
Oh, my!
And if there's any place where you're going to be successful at drumming up business for an AcroCats show, it's Manitowoc. I don't know if you remember, but we went there for a Sputnik festival that had an interpretive dance reenacting the Sputnik landing.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on in Manitowoc.
No.
And yet, Samantha was only able to sell 21 tickets.
But she's really focused on making sure the right person sees her show, which totally made me think of Waiting for Guffman. Like, she just needs her big break.
Yeah, she needs that one celebrity, that one influencer.
Right.
Well, they're getting ready for the big Manitowoc show, and Samantha asks Lindsay if she should do another shot, and Lindsay kind of looks wary, but then Samantha drinks straight from a bottle of vodka before going on stage.
Yes, just chugs it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a repeating refrain in this documentary.
I don't know if AcroCats is exactly fueled by alcohol, but alcohol is a supporting player.
And the show does not go well.
It does not. The cats run off the stage. Apparently, they still have a few other random animals because there's a beaver in a wagon.
I thought that was a woodchuck.
Oh, maybe it is a woodchuck.
Regardless, it pees all over the stage. And then she's like wiping up the pee while the audience is watching. And one of her cats is named Tuna, and he just hightails out of the place.
Tuna recognizes that he could settle down in Manitowoc just fine.
Right.
Lindsay says that the show was terrible, and she blames it on Samantha's anxiety because she says the cats will pick up on that. But then Lindsay says that one of the neat things about Samantha doesn't always think things all the way through.
Which is not shocking.
But it's also not neat.
No.
You have a boss who you're living with on the road in a motorhome full of a dozen cats. It's not neat that she can't think things through.
I mean, she does point out that if she were able to think things through, she would not be doing what she's doing. It's one of those things where maybe in your exit interview, you bring it up.
Oh, we'll get there. Samantha is very down after this performance.
They're always going to screw me over. I just don't know which one. Which one is going to fail me? Which one's going to make me look like an idiot?
And she talks about how she's very shy.
It's an interesting career choice for someone who's shy. If it's your life dream and you don't like doing it, why is it your dream?
That's a good question. She does another show where she takes a swig from the bottle before she goes on. She doesn't appear to be acting actively drunk during the show, from what we can tell, what I could tell.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's talking about, like, all this stuff against her and people are going to fuck her over. And she's putting on this makeup and talking about how she's shy and swigging booze. And I start to feel like, are we watching a movie where she's going to turn into the Joker by the end of it?
I could see that. I thought you were headed towards like a Judy Garland route, but I like this interpretation better.
That makes sense too. We fast forward a few months to summer. She's got a YouTube channel and one of her clips has gotten over 300,000 views, which is a big moment for her, but she's not sure if it's going to lead anywhere. And then the next thing we see is her having sour grapes because some other cat lady got on Letterman, but she didn't.
She's really indignant about it, that this cat that's on Letterman is stealing things from the neighbors and bringing it to the owner's house. And she's just indignant that a cat that stole a bra went viral, but not cats playing instruments, which I guess we haven't mentioned, that a big part of the act is the rock cats, and they play guitar, drums, and I guess piano?
Do they?
We actually don't really see them perform a song. We see them randomly banging on things.
That's what they do, Jamie.
Well, it's what I would expect a cat to do.
They don't perform a song. And they never will.
Pinky on guitar.
Nui on keyboards. And Fiji on drums.
I've gone on the website. The best that you get is clips of them muted with a song playing in the background that actually is a song.
Well, see, here's the thing. Cats are not interested in doing what you want them to do. Cats are not interested in any of this. I honestly feel like if a cat had a choice between doing what you wanted and making you the most embarrassed you've ever been, every time they're going to choose embarrassed and enjoy it. Because I don't think they're lacking in the intellect to do it right. They have absolutely no desire.
Yeah, I don't know. We get to see a clip from her show, and I wanted just to mention it because we see it several times. One of the running jokes in her show is that she says, "I've got a lot of cats. I won't tell you how many, but I will say that I am single, and I will probably stay that way."
The crowd always laughs at this.
I don't know if you noticed this, but one of the, like the third or fourth time that we see that, they laugh when she says, "I am single," but when she says, "and I'll probably stay that way," there is a little bit of a, oh.
A little Debbie Downer right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention this because we soon get to see and meet a man named Stuart.
So this man she meets, I assume, for the first time. And he helps her sort of pack up her show, pack up the cats and the RV after a show. And they go out for drinks afterwards. And she is all over him.
She is standing very close to him.
Yes.
If they didn't have clothes on, they would be having sex close to him. And she's hugging him and putting her hands on his chest. And Lindsay points out how hard she's flirting.
It's a lot.
Well, and Samantha says that she really likes Stuart, but we don't see what happens.
I wish we had an interview with Stuart, because I would love to know what his thought process is. She's a woman with at least a dozen cats who he knows going out of the gate lives in an RV with these 12 cats.
Yes.
This is also a time when she refers back to her youth as the rat lady of Chicago and talks about how much game she used to get. Men were all over her when she was a rat lady, but they're not as interested in her now that she's a cat lady.
Yeah, she says that the rats drew the punk guys to her.
I mean, that makes sense, but also doesn't.
Well, then what I assume is the next day, Lindsay is talking about missing her boyfriend, Aaron. And Samantha says,
"They're going to find him dead."
What?
In the way she says it, it's like she is going to kill him. And that is how they will find him dead.
"They're going to find him dead because he misses you so much. He just He's gonna just die, you know? And then it'll be like, yeah, cause of death, missing Lindsay.
Can you imagine your boss telling you, again, I hearken back to the Joker, they're gonna find your boyfriend dead.
Right?
What? Well, she has another show in her hometown. We learned that it's the holidays. She was going to bring Stuart home, but she decided that she was just bored with Stuart and they had nothing in common. So she quote unquote pulled the plug.
All of these metaphors make me scared for the people around Samantha.
Has anybody seen Stuart since Samantha quote unquote pulled the plug?
Right.
Samantha's having a bad run of luck. Her elderly parents are not doing well. Her cat, Pinky, is sick, and that's her favorite cat. And so we get this kind of depressing little chunk before we move to Mardi Gras.
And life is turning around.
Yeah, she gets to be on Talk Soup on Comedy Central, but we don't ever get to see the clip.
No.
Which makes me think it probably wasn't flattering.
I had that same thought. Talk Soup wasn't known for being kind to the people it talked about. It was sort of a early Tosh.0.
Yeah.
Where we're making fun of people who are going viral for reasons.
Yes, and none of them good. But then soon after that, they also make it onto Animal Planet on a show called Must Love Cats. And now she says the offers come pouring in from around the country for her to go do her show.
This was her waiting for Guffman moment.
Mm-hmm.
She just needed to get on Animal Planet. And how did she get on Animal Planet? Did they see her on Talk Soup? Did Joel McHale talk to the Animal Planet people? This is sort of amazing, and I wish they had delved more into how it happened.
Yeah, that's not this documentary.
Again, this documentary is terrible.
After these TV appearances, they do start to get a significant uptick in ticket sales.
They're sold out in the different venues that they go to. They show pictures of lines snaking outside. There's a clip of a woman who's just indignant because she waited in line and then there were no tickets left.
She says they have tickets.
I'm sorry, the show has already started and we are completely full. I bought tickets.
I know, but you should have been here before the show started.
I was waiting at the end of the line for almost 15 minutes.
So you have tickets, but you don't let them have a seat. Do they think they're running an airline?
And are you really in a position in your career to start turning people away that want to see your show? You're not Delta. You're not American. You need the positive word of mouth.
Like, how do you so quickly go from drumming up anyone, please come to this show to like, well, you were at the back of the line, so fuck you, even if you already bought tickets.
Yeah, that kind of blew my mind. It was like she suddenly had all the fame go to her head and she didn't need the fans anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's at this point when she randomly lists off a bunch of lame stuff that the cats will do, like ring a bell, push a cart, walk on a ramp. This woman bought a ticket, waited in line to watch that.
Yeah.
Do you have YouTube, lady? There's so many cat videos on YouTube.
And they're probably doing more interesting things.
Let's say you went over to your aunt's house and she's like, oh, I trained Pinky. And then you watch her and it's like, Pinky, come here. No, come here. Come here. Pinky. Pinky, come here. Come on. No, that's not a cat show. You're watching a lady coax her cat into doing things, maybe.
Yeah, that's a really good way to describe it. It seems like it is coaxing and hope.
Why would you pay money for that?
Well, the engine won't start on her motorhome. So Samantha talks about how she's tired of being poor. She says, I may not want to travel forever and ever. And I feel like I'm on the verge of losing Lindsay.
Yeah.
And it turns out she is.
Which is not shocking.
No.
The only thing shocking about it is the timing. Now that they're finally getting a show together that's selling out, both Samantha and Lindsay are like, yeah, I don't really want to do this though.
If I were Lindsay, I would have started figuring out what I'm going to do next the second day I worked for the cat circus. Maybe during my first shift.
On your 15-minute break. Lindsay tells us that her dad owns a jewelry store in Virginia Beach. And so she's working on getting her gemology degree as like a quote unquote backup plan. And Samantha is not supportive of this. She sees her doing her homework and makes a lot of snide comments about it.
What are you going to be, a gemologist?
Yep.
Wow.
The relationship is totally devolving.
Then we see Lindsay and Aaron moving out. Samantha is giving her the silent treatment.
Yes.
Lindsay's kind of talking to her while they're moving stuff, and she's just like got her head down and looking away. And
yeah,
Lindsay does kind of a Jim Halper look to the camera.
Totally does. You know, I never really thought about Erin and what it would take to date a woman who, she doesn't have a cat circus. She works for a cat circus. I feel like he has to be talking about gemology all the time. Oh, look, gems. Like she thinks he's looking at wedding rings for her or something. And he's like, just gems.
Like Erin and her dad have been running a very serious hardcore campaign to get Lindsay out of this place.
All they talk about is gems.
We got to get her out of that motorhome.
And they do.
They do. Samantha says she doesn't harbor ill feelings about Lindsay leaving, and she's not going to try to sabotage anybody's thing, which sounds like she maybe harbors ill feelings.
And sabotage somebody's things.
There's an unsaid this time. She's got Lindsay leaving, and now Pinky, her favorite cat, has died. And we fast forward 3 months, and we open looking at the outside of an animal control facility. And my first thought is, oh no, these cats are getting put down. It's the opposite. She's adopting 3 more kittens. So if you're doing the math, she's down 1, so she buys 3.
Yep.
That is cat lady math, Jamie.
That is the proper ratio for pet replacement, Dave.
Cat lady math.
She has taken the Rock Cats and spun that into an animal rescue in addition to the cat circus, which is noble. How many of those end up living with her and participating in the cat circus is unsaid. She also seems to be doing a little better financially. She did a Kickstarter and was able to replace her van, and it's a much better looking vehicle.
She received over $30,000 from her Kickstarter.
Well, yeah, she had to buy a new RV.
People gave her $30,000.
If you have a Kickstarter that has anything to do with cats, you will raise money. Because there are a lot of crazy cat ladies out there.
I know that you can't take that money and use it for a down payment on a house and some decent clothes so you can go to a job interview. But that's a big chunk of money, I feel like, for someone like Samantha to have all at one time.
But her expenses are $150,000 a year.
Yeah.
So money is flowing through her.
I guess you have to just keep putting more money into your circus.
She's investing in it, and it's finally paying off.
Speaking of investing, she says that cats are a good investment right now because cat cafes are opening. She seems to be feeling like cats are having a moment. Are they, though? I feel like the level of popularity of a cat has maintained itself for pretty much the entire existence of humankind.
Yes. Cats have been sort of the foundation of the internet for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Also, cats are not an investment. Do not invest in cats. Except, I did not see this coming. This whole documentary is just about what a fail this cat circus is. And then she's on the Stephen Colbert show.
Yeah, she gets on the Stephen Colbert show. She gets on Steve Harvey's show. She starts having huge media attention. It is a good time to be in cats.
This was a twist, not a well-executed twist, because they don't spend any time really talking about her success or what got her there or anything like that. But yeah, it starts out with a woman toasting bread on the ground and drinking Smirnoff from the bottle. And it ends with her on the Stephen Colbert show with her cat band performing.
And Steve Colbert wearing little cat ears on his head and
right.
Totally playing along.
Did you see it coming?
No. Again, see aforementioned Joker downward spiral.
Right.
It kind of like wobbles and teeters a little bit, but that's where I thought we were going. The last thing we hear from Samantha is her saying,
"The show's about my life and what my life is with these cats. And what their personalities are and where they came from and my relationship with them. I'm the only one that can do the show. No one else, because it's my story."
I guess if you're looking for a metaphor for your life, a cat circus is an apt metaphor for many people's lives. Like, it's one of those like real actual footage of my life, trying to coax a cat to do a trick and it runs away.
Well, we get some title cards at the end, kind of a, what are they doing now? And we learn that Samantha is still touring 200 days a year. Lindsay still lives in California with her boyfriend, Erin. But she reunited with Samantha for a one-off appearance on the Steve Harvey show, which again, we knew she was on the Steve Harvey show. Samantha's RV broke down, but she raised enough money to buy a bus. We know. We saw these things 5 minutes ago.
Right. Not even.
Were these closing credits created before the documentary was completed and they just didn't bother to change them?
Well, Samantha has a cat circus. Dave, did you learn anything?
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
I had a few thoughts. You can't train all of the cats all the time, or some of the cats all the time, or really any of the cats all the time. Really, you shouldn't be training cats at all. You
can't even train some of them some of the time.
I was prepared to be impressed. Oh, you know, like she did cool things with these cats. Not so much.
No.
Did you happen to look at what it costs to see the Acrocats?
I didn't catch that.
She has a show coming up in February in Florida, and I went on the Acrocats site and just looked at what the tickets were. And there's a range, of course. There's general admission all the way up to VICP, which is very important cat people, front row seats.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh. What would you be willing to pay to see the Acrocats?
A canned good.
Okay. And what do you think it actually costs to see the Acrocats? Let's go like general admission, normal person, and then maybe like the most expensive tickets. Like, what do you think the range is?
I would say $7 for general admission.
Uh-huh.
And $12 for a seat.
For general admission, it's $25.
What?
And front row seats, sorry, front row seats are $45.
That's insane. You can go see the figure skating championships for less than that. Oh my God. I refuse to accept that. A canned good is what I would be bringing.
Well, what did you learn?
There wasn't a lot that was particularly eye-opening. Everybody knows that training a cat is going to be a nightmare, except for Samantha. I was a little, I don't know what the right word is, surprised to learn that a rat lady would get a lot of game. There's a Venn diagram of me and people who are into rats, and they do not overlap.
I mean, again, I didn't think that she was unattractive. The rats would not be a draw for me, but cute, quirky girl who, I mean, she does kind of have like a little bit of a punk look herself.
Is what I'm learning that you're into rat ladies?
No, but I think...
I feel like this is about to devolve.
There's somebody for everybody.
That's fair, but a lot of people for the rat lady.
Yeah. It feels like maybe she's not giving herself enough credit.
It was actually because she's hot. Don't attribute your success with the opposite sex to rats.
I think that's a good rule for life in general.
I think so too. So honestly, this documentary is terrible and I didn't learn much else. We've never really rated documentaries before on this podcast. This is two thumbs down from me.
Two paws down?
All four paws are on the floor right now.
This is a woodchuck peeing on a stage. That's my rating.
I would say this is a breakfast made in a toaster oven that's on the ground.
Mm.
That's my rating.
I don't know what the top of the scale is.
I'm going to say the top of the scale. And if you're listening and you haven't yet listened to the Natural History of the Chicken, to me, the top of the scale thus far was a reenactment featuring a chicken mother saving her chicks. I would also say another top thing would be quitting your job as a cat circus wrangler and moving to California with your boyfriend to become a gemologist.
And I guess maybe that's like one of the bright points is Lindsay made it out.
Right. It has a happy ending. You have Lindsay pursuing a gemology career with a man that loves her.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Samantha doing 200 cat shows a year, selling tickets for an exorbitant price.
Yes.
Speaking of exorbitant prices, it does not cost anything to review this podcast wherever you download your podcasts. We would love to get a review. We'd love it if you'd share the podcast with your friend. We'd love it if you engage with us on social media at SuperTrueStory on Twitter and SuperTrueStories on Facebook.
Indeed. And we should give a special end of the year, Happy New Year shout out to our podcast friends at 6 Foot Plus and The Projection Booth. And a thank you to Tomb Dragomir, who is the creator of our theme song, which is Mexicana Massacre off of his album Instrumental Psychosynth.
So, Happy New Year's.
Jamie, I'm looking forward to another year full of strange, weird, awful documentaries, I guess.
Yes, it does make 2020 sound so appealing.
And on that note, we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Nui on keyboards and Fiji on drums.